Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we ask that you would bless and bless this preaching moment and touch us and help us to get something out of it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's special people here today. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, you just might as well assume it's you. Just assume you're the special person I'm talking about. But there's special people here today, and I just thank you for coming. Thank you for coming through the doors. Thank you for just choosing to worship with us. You could be anywhere. You could be doing anything, but you took some time out of your day to come and be with us. And my prayer, always my prayer, even if I don't say it out loud, it's always my prayer that no one's coming would be in vain. That you would not come here and leave empty, that you would not come here and leave the same way that you came, that you would get something in Jesus' name. And getting something is not always means you get it from me. Sometimes you get it from a child. Sometimes you get it from a person next to you. Sometimes you get it from Lady Devon. Sometimes you get it from the deacons. I don't care how you get it. Just as long as you get something that lets you know you were in the right place this morning. Amen? All right, let us get ready for our confession. I'm more excited than what I look. I really am. So repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now, if you know you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Online, if you believe you're going to be fed and you believe you're not wasting your time, go ahead and make some noise in the comments as well. So we are in a series I call the People Series, and so we're just going to do some quick recap. And so the first one was called People of Purpose, and here's just four things that we talked about: discovering purpose, dedicating to purpose, demonstrating your purpose, and defending your purpose. And then on last week, we talked about people of power, and we left you with these three things that the power does. It gives you power to witness, gives you power over ignorance, and power for your needs. And that left us with the acronym WIN, and so we close with power to win. And once again, that was people of power. That's what that was. So we had people of purpose, people of power. It'll always be people with the P word, and so that's how we will go through this series. So today is simply this: people of peace, people of peace. So when you are walking in your purpose, it gives you power, but we want to show you how to wield your power with peace. And so if I give us a definition of peace, and here it is, it's freedom from disturbance, tranquility. Let me add this. The older you get, sometimes you just want some peace and quiet. A state or period in which there is no war or war has ended. I'm going to try. I prayed as I was working on this message. I prayed that I wouldn't be overly political because I don't want to be preaching my opinion. But let me just say that we have shifted, they're trying to shift the Department of Defense to the Department of War. I don't understand such angry politicians, because when you go to war, you who decide we're going to war don't go to war. It is the kids and the children of the people that end up going to war. And so I would rather have people that are peaceful. So let me add this, as since I'm on that, let me just throw this up here. So there is this jostling about Jesus. And what's interesting is now we have everybody says that they love Jesus. But now Jesus means different things to different people. So let's put up just these competing ideas of Jesus. There's a weak Jesus, a passive Jesus, versus a divisive Jesus, and then there's a flipping tables Jesus. And so the only one that is not true is weak Jesus. Jesus was not weak. Meekness doesn't equal weakness. But Jesus was passive in some ways, especially to the people that were expecting something different. I try to always remind us this as we're reading the Bible, because a lot of times we don't read the Bible with history in mind, because many times we don't care about history. It's so boring. But history does inform us of things. And if you look at history, we have to understand that Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, Israel at the time of Jesus, was under Roman occupation. Meaning, let's put it in our time. Let's say, for example, that Russia was to take over Muncie, not all of America, but over Muncie. That means that no matter what the mayor believes, he is not the final say-so, because the Russians have occupied our city. And so that means that whatever you have done as far as America is now changed. You are now under Russian rule, and you don't have anything you can do about it. And so if we were caught in that place, one of the first things we'd want the rest of America to rally around to get us out of the situation. However, when Jesus showed up, he let them know he was the Messiah and the King. And so immediately they're thinking, yay, you are going to overthrow Rome. You're going to kick them out. You're going to take over. But he took a more peaceful path. And a more passive path. And that's why some people didn't want to fool with Jesus, because I only want you to get rid of the folk that I don't like. But he was peaceful. He was passive. But he was also divisive. Jesus came to be divisive. And we're going to go to a scripture about that. And then let me add that Jesus did do some flipping tables over. All right, before I move on, I'm taking my time purposely. Before I move on, I want to talk about us Christians who get excited about flipping table over Jesus. We only see him do that one time. But we have a lot of Christians that wear shirts that say, I'm saved, but watch out, I'll flip some tables over. I'm saved, but don't get too close to me, because I'm saved and I fight too. I'm saved and I cuss. We like to joke about those things. But if we really look at Jesus, there were only few key times that he was harsh. And the times that he was the harshest was to the religious crowd. When he flipped over tables, he wasn't just flipping over tables for anybody that he disagreed with. It was to the religious people. So I do need to tell us, if you're going to be people of purpose and you're going to have power, you're going to have to learn how to walk in peace. And there's going to be sometimes Jesus calls you for peace when you don't feel like being peaceful. There's going to be times that he's going to call for peace out of your life when you actually have a right to do something opposite. Jesus had a right to overthrow Rome right then and there, but he chose to yield his will to the overall will of the Father. And it bothered the Israelites who were there, because that's not what they were looking for. And let me tell you something, Christian, sometimes Jesus is going to show up in your situation and he's not going to fix it the way you want him to fix it. He's going to show up in the life of your ex, and you waiting for him to tear your ex down for how your ex treated you, and Jesus just might bless your ex and you're going to have to deal with it. Jesus just might open door for somebody you don't like and you're just going to have to deal with it. Jesus just might bless the person who voted opposite of you and you're going to have to be peaceful about it. We don't like that type of preacher. We like the preacher where God allows us to go off on folk. And I told them, like it, T.I. is. Yeah, that sometimes happens. But the majority of the time, Jesus is calling for peace out of your life. Because if anybody could have been rough and tough, it could have been the creator of the universe, but he came in a peaceful way. Yes, he did flip over tables. Yes, he did tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees off. But if you look at his life overall, he walked in peace. All right. So why are you so mad all the time? Why is it that the only person you like in the church is the pastor and the pastor's wife? I can do it. The rest of them, I can do it out. I'm saved. Listen, when you saved, you ain't got to take stuff. Yeah, I know I've told you that. I know I've preached that to you, but you have to put it in its proper context. There's going to be a major part of your Christian walk where you're going to have to crucify your flesh, and you're going to have to take back, and you're going to have to hold your tongue when you don't want to hold your tongue. There's going to be times you're going to type out a whole email, and once you get it done telling all you want to say, God's going to say hit delete. There's going to be times that you're going to put stuff on Facebook and God's going to say take it off, take it down. There's going to be times you get ready to dial somebody's number and tell about such and such and so, and God tell you to shut up. We don't like that kind of preaching and that kind of talk. But if you're going to grow in God, there's going to be some times that he is going to cause you to grow up, and it's not always going to feel so right. Some people talk about all these things about, I'm coming to church to get my praise on. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you come to church to serve. Whoa, these kids, they making so much noise in the church. I can't get my praise on. It's a possibility God wants you to help with the young people ministry. So what you hear that's bothering you, sometimes God is causing you to be the solution, but you're so used to complaining. You're so used to everything going your way. And sometimes God is going to call you for peace, especially in this, I'm trying not to be too political, but in this season where Christian nationalism is on the rise, where we act like everybody in the nation has to believe what we believe and have to do what we do. I'm getting ready to put the Ten Commandments on the schoolroom door. I want it there. But it doesn't make no sense to put the Ten Commandments on the schoolroom door and then cut lunch for people who can't afford lunch. God is not looking for how loud we are as Christians. He's looking at how we live the thing out. And sometimes in order to live it out, you have to be peaceful. Even what I'm talking about, God has called me to walk with people that didn't vote like I voted. And some of the things that I'm saying now, I want to get in their face and say, I don't agree with this, that, and the other. And sometimes God says, shut up and just work. Because here's the thing. Sometimes it's not about what you believe, your opinion. It's about the overall solution. So sometimes you just got to work toward a solution. Ask Pastor Neil, who happens to be here right now, who does a lot of work in the community. He just sometimes gets in where he fits in because he's trying to bring solutions. And when you're trying to bring solutions, sometimes you have to take the pathway of peace, and it doesn't make you weak because you took the pathway of peace. It makes you more like Jesus. All right. But now let's go to divisive Jesus, because he sometimes was divisive. And here's one key word that he says, and we're going to try to break it down. Let's read Matthew 10, 32 to 33.
Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven.
Next verse, verse 33.
But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven.
Now look at this verse, which seems to be totally opposite of what I'm preaching right now, but we're going to make it make sense. Put this verse up.
Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
That's what I'm talking about, Pastor. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. And he does. This is it. These are exactly his words. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. But we can't stop right there. Let's look at what he says next.
For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Wow, that's kind of even harsher than what I thought. Let's look at the next verse, and I'll see if I can paint it together for us.
And a man's enemies will be those of his own household.
This is what Jesus is saying, that the divisiveness that I'm calling for is when I call you to follow me, not everybody in your family is going to agree with the call that I placed on your life. And you're going to have to rise up and follow me, even though it costs you. A lot of times when we talk about being divisive, we want to be divisive with folk over there. God said, no, I want to do it right in your circle, because I want to know, will you really follow me when it costs you? And sometimes God is going to give you things that your spouse does not understand. I didn't think I would go here, but I will. And I'll just say it briefly. This happens to be the day that my father passed away. This October the 5th happened to be the day that he crossed over to glory 4 years ago. And I'm not really sad. Actually, I feel good. But I thought maybe I'm not going to bring it up, because I didn't want, even though I feel good, I didn't want to, you know, bring somebody else down. I didn't know how my mother feels, and so, or my siblings or y'all. But as I thought about that, when I think about his ministry, my mother would tell you, God called him to do some stuff she did not understand. There were times that his ministry caused them to be at odds, and they had to work it out. He's talking about, I'm about to go be with the crack addicts at 2, 3 in the morning. And his wife is at home raising the kids. That's hard to deal with. But he kept pressing because he believed that God was calling them to something. And eventually it brought peace in the home. Because here's the thing, when God has really called you to do it, if you don't do it, it's going to mess everything up. So sometimes you have to be willing to disagree with folk you love in order to follow the call of God on your life. Now, we talk about him and her, but it was flip side. There were times that God was calling her to do the stuff that he didn't understand. Let me give you a specific example. God was moving him away from the commercialization of Christmas. And so God would call him to fast during the holiday season, so he would not be around, which makes it hard for a husband and wife. How are we going to do Christmas? But my mother, God was calling her to worship through Christmas. And so he didn't understand her. She didn't understand him. But guess what? The house did not get divided. We grew up and we all love both of them, and we both love Jesus. Here's the thing. When God has called you to walk in something, the folk that really love you, they gonna fall in line some way, somehow. So when God says he's not here to bring peace, he's not talking about over there, I can't wait to tear the Republicans down. I can't wait to tear the Democrats down. No, God said, I'm trying to tear stuff down in you, in your life. And then here's the thing. Once God breaks you down with the sword, he also builds you back up. And now we're in a great space, and I'm not going to say any much more about this or move on, but I will say many times when people of key families die, the families end up fighting. But in our case, me, my brother, my sister, and my other brother, we're closer than we have ever been. We have grown closer because my father followed the call of God on his life. And guess what I learned? The call of God on his life was also to leave here too. So I'm not going to keep crying about it. I'm carrying on Bishop Royce Mitchell's legacy, and I'm walking in those footsteps. I'm doing what God has called me to do. So same thing for you. Whatever's going on in your life, how are you dealing with it? All right, let's move on. Let's move to this. The Bible speaks more about our peace than it does our purpose or our power. The other two sermons was purpose and power, but I want you to know God speaks more to us about peace. Let me add this, and then we're going to try to move. Don't forget in your endeavor to not be anyone's doormat, which I preach to you. I'm saying you should not be oppressed. You should not be walked on. I do teach you that. But do remember this, peace is still a fruit of the Spirit, and it needs to be cultivated in our lives. Don't get so self-conscious that you forget you need to walk in peace. As black Christians, I do tell us, you do not have to dumb down your blackness to be a child of God. In no way, you do not have to take racism to be a child of God. You can buck against it. But in our bucking against stuff, we do have to know that sometimes God is calling for peace. I've got shirts that say I'm black and I'm proud, but there are some places I don't need to wear that because it would cause and stir up stuff. It doesn't mean that I am dumbing down. It's just knowing that sometimes you just need to choose peace. There's sometimes you don't need to talk about who you voted for. There's sometimes you don't need to talk about what's going on in the news. Sometimes you got to sacrifice some of that stuff for the fruit of peace. Because peace is important, and it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Once again, I don't want weak Christians, but understand, here's the thing. The problem with a pastoring is a lot of times we swing from one extreme to the other. And pastoring tries to keep us in a healthy balance so you don't get too far off on one thing and too far off on the other. All right, so now let's give us this. Six Bible verses where God is directly connected with peace. We're not going to read these. I'm just going to put them up in two sections. And if you want to, you can take a picture of both of them so you can have them and look them up later. But I just want to let you know the connection of them. So here's the first one. Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. The Lord of Peace, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, and the Peace Giver. Brother Dylan, hold that up there for a second. If you want to take a picture of it, you can. And throughout this week, you can look these scriptures up. So let me say it again. Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace, the Peace Giver. All right, let's go on to the second section. This is 4, 5, and 6. It says, he himself is our peace. These all happen to be in the King James Version, by the way. Ephesians 2:14, the God of peace. Romans 15:33, author of peace. Now this, it doesn't actually say that. It says God is not the author of confusion. So this is the opposite of that. That verse, 1 Corinthians 14:33. We'll hold it up here again so that you can take a picture of it if you need it. Those of you online, you can take some time to see those things. And you can look them up in the King James Version. So let me go ahead and just make it clear. If God is connected to peace so much in the scripture, why are you so cantankerous? Why are you so evil? Why you got such a big chip on your shoulder and can't nobody ever say anything to you? I don't like the way they talk to me. I don't like their tone. I do understand that you're human. Nobody should talk to you down. Nobody should be oppressing you. But sometimes y'all taking it too far. Your husband, you love him until he says something you don't like in a tone you don't like. Now, we don't want no man yelling at his wife. But some of y'all done got so sadity, he can't say anything stern without you having a full-blown attitude. Or vice versa. My wife just nagged too much. She asked one simple question, and now I can't deal with no nagging woman. The Bible says it's better to live in the corner of the rooftop. But she saying it one time is not nagging. Sometimes what's happening is you're not walking in the fruit of peace and you're being irritated and you're being frustrated because you just haven't matured. You just haven't grown up. And sometimes you got to tell yourself, self, grow up. I quit the job because I didn't like the way they said it to me. What did they say to you? They said, we need you to go over there and work such and such a job. You mean you so lazy that can't nobody tell you nothing? No, I'm not praying that God bless your bills and you quit every job because somebody didn't talk the way you wanted them to talk. You're not growing up. Grown people understand everything's not going to go my way all the time. Sometimes I got to suck it up, buttercup. Sometimes I got to choose peace. And there's other times where the person is wrong. There's other times where the boss is wrong, but I got 28 years and I can't lose my job now. So I'm just going to suck it up. I'm going to deal with it later. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to say, God, I need you to do that. And I've had issues that God tell me, don't go to the committee, men. Don't do this. And I'm like, I don't like the way I'm being treated. And God just say, pray on it. I've watched God move people out of my way. But before he did that, he taught me there's some things you got to learn how to deal with. There's some things you got to grow through. There's some things you got to handle. Because sometimes what he wants you to take everything to God in prayer. And if you can fix everything by yourself, you'll never need to go to God in prayer. So sometimes God allows stuff to come your way, and he wants you to hold your peace. There's other times where I didn't say what I wanted to say, and God told me to hold my peace. And I'm so grateful I didn't say what I wanted to say, because I found out later I was wrong. Sometimes you look very intelligent when you shut up. That's what Proverbs said, and you can read it for yourself. Sometimes when God is telling you to hold your peace, it's in your favor. It's in your benefit. Sometimes, even though you may not like the way cops treat black people when you get pulled over, sometimes it's important for you to shut up and go to 10 and 2 just so you can make it to another day. You don't have to argue all the time. Learn how to hold your peace. I'm getting ready to go off on the cop, and the cop is just knocking on my window to tell me, oh, by the way, your taillight is out. I'm not going to write you a ticket. I just want you to know so you can be safe. I'm getting ready to go off on somebody that's actually trying to protect and serve me. See, here's the thing that we've got to learn. We got to stop generalizing everybody. Just because there's a few bad apples in the bunch doesn't mean all the apples are bad. So sometimes you got to deal with people in human terms and realize that. We'll see that later, but I got to move on. Let's go to this. Six areas where the Bible calls us toward peace. I could go through many of them, but I'm just going to go to six areas. Now, here it is. Number one, as it relates to our relationship with God. If God is connected with peace and we are in relationship with him, then peace ought to be a part of our lives. Once again, I'm saying there's times where you do have to stand up for yourself. There's times you do have to say things. But here's the thing. When you are a peaceful person, it will be a shocker when you actually stand up for yourself. There's other people, there's Christians, but it's a shocker when they act peaceful because they raise so much sand. Let me just be honest. They raise so much hell. Talking about I'm heading to heaven, but they raise hell everywhere they go. The folk on MCL is scared of them. The people at Crew Car Wash is scared of them. I mean, they raise hell everywhere they go. They got Christian shirts. They got crosses and bumper stickers. But the neighborhood knows they're evil. Everybody knows they're evil. That should not be a part of your life. You can't be mad at everybody all the time. Your food is not always wrong. Maybe you ordered it wrong. And you mean every time you go to the restaurant, you send in food back? Something's wrong with you. Sometimes the common denominator in all your problems is you. Learn how to realize, and sometimes if you listen to the Holy Spirit, sometimes he's warning you, no, stop, chill, relax. And what we don't know that many times doctors know, a lot of the diseases that we are holding in our body is not because of the germs in the land, it's because of the bitterness, the hatred, the envy that we're holding on to, and God is trying to heal us. God didn't heal my cousin. No, your cousin, the reason why he died cancer, because he was so evil all the time. If he would have walked in peace, he could have been healed. This is not for everybody all the time, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get us to understand it. Now, let's look at what Jesus said. We talk about Jesus a lot of times, but forget one of his main sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And look, at this comes directly from the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to point number one as it relates to our relationship with God. So here it is, Matthew 5:9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
I'm a child of God. Oh, I'm a child of God. But do you make peace? Do you bring peace? is peace a part of your life? Here's the thing. When a person is really a child of God, they bring a atmosphere of peace, even in a chaotic atmosphere. They bring a calm. One of the things that caused me to love Devin the way I love Devin and realize she should be a part of my life is because I was naturally nervous. Whenever I got, I was an awkward child. I got a lot more swag now. I'm still awkward, but at least I got a little swag now. I was awkward then, but she brought a peace. She brought a calm to me. She made me just settle down. I love it when peaceful people show up. It shifts atmospheres. And the Bible says those are the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. When are we going to stop fighting over dumb stuff and start bringing peace? I don't mean to say it this way, but let me say it this way. I really don't care about Charlie Kirk. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? I hate that he passed away the way he passed away. But I've moved on from that. I'm not trying to fight with other Christians that believe he was a martyr. I don't have time to do anything that's not going to bring peace. If you feel like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you feel like he was the worst thing that ever happened, I don't care. Because at the end of the day, I want peace to come. So I'm moving beyond that. Not that it's unimportant to me. I still pray for his wife and kids. But what I'm saying is we get caught in the little stuff. And that's what the world knows the church for now, is all the infighting we have. But the scripture says the children of God are peacemakers. I don't agree with everybody I work with. But at the end of the day, I want to see the work of God go forth. So guess what? We're going to have peace. Just not too long ago, the clergy, we did a prayer, and we were supposed to be doing it where the violence happened at Zips, but because of rain, we moved it indoors in New Hope, and it was a beautiful experience. We just showed up for prayer. Our president, Pastor Woodgett, he said specifically, I do not want this to be political. I don't want this to be about what we believe or what they believe. That's not what we're trying to do. Because at the end of the day, bullets don't have nobody's name on it. At the end of the day, we need the violence to stop. So I'm not so much worried. When it comes November, I'll go to the ballot box and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But beyond that, I'm trying to bring peace into the land. All right, move on. Number two, which is the same thing as it relates to humanity. Let's read the next verse.
Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
You grow up in holiness churches, they quoted the last part of that verse a lot. But it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. It means work at it. Work at living. No, I'm just going to live at peace with the Democrats. Because I'm a Democrat. No, I'm just going to live at peace with the conservatives because I'm a conservative. I'm just going to live at peace with the Methodists because I'm a Methodist. No, it says live at peace with everyone. That means I got to work to live at peace with Will, even though he's a Steelers fan and he don't have the Holy Ghost on him like I do. Because the Bible says that Jesus would ride on a colt. So that's why I like the colts. But live at peace. Now, that's joking, but just this year when the New York was playing the Pacers, there happened to be a fan of the Pacers that was in New York that actually got beat up because he was rooting for another team. Do you know how territorial we've gotten in this day and age? That will fight over anything. I like MacBook and you like Windows. I like Apple, you like Android. I can't fool with you. Let some of that stuff go and live as much as you can. Some people won't let you be peaceful with them. That's okay. Sometimes you just got to move on. The scripture says, wipe the dust off of your feet. You bring peace everywhere you go. Sometimes you got to wipe the dust off your feet, but stop acting like everybody's your enemy. Not everybody that's white don't like you. Not everybody that's black don't like you. They don't like me because they fat and I done got skinny. Them folk ain't thinking about you. Stop thinking you so special They don't like me because I wear suits every Sunday. Ain't nobody thinking about my suit. Just learn how to live peaceful with everyone. It's a mark of being a good, mature Christian. Read on. It's a new verse. Read the whole thing.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation.
Okay, keep on going.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil.
Uh-oh, wait, that's in the scripture.
Give careful thought.
I tell you what, that teacher, I don't like the way she talked to my son. I'm going to go snatch her up, and I'm still saved. But the scripture says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. All right, go ahead.
Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes.
Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. So that means there's sometimes you're not going to be able to do what you want to do. Because people are looking. I've told you, I've told myself all the time, with my driving habits, I'm getting better. But one thing that's helping me get better, I got PASA on the back of my license plate. Sometimes I think I wish I would have took that off. That way I can act the way I want to act. But that means sometimes you're going to have to choose peace if you're going to align with your Savior. Here's the thing. Don't forget, the Savior had people spitting in his face and saying, who hit you? And he knew everything. And the scripture says he uttered not a word. And shoot, I can't be one of them weak type of Christians. Ain't nobody asking you to be weak, but it is asking you to be mature. All right, let's read on verse 18.
If possible, as far as it depends on you.
On your part.
Live at peace with everyone.
If it's in your court, live at peace with everyone. This is tight. Right. There you go, but it's right. Number three. As it relates to our human enemies. Well, okay, you telling me I'm supposed to live at peace with everyone, but what about the folk that are my enemies? You told me everybody's not my enemy, but some folk are my enemies. You say everybody not talking about me, but Pastor Andre, some folk are talking about me. Look at what this scripture says, Proverbs 16:7.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Don't rush. Keep on living. Because when your ways please the Lord, even your enemies are going to have to say, oh, I don't really like Andre, but he can preach. At least I can say that. He get on my nerve, but he is funny. So you're going to find even your enemies will find good things to say about you as you live peaceful. And I made this point. Actually, go back to it, just so you look, put number three up. I did this on purpose. As it relates to our human enemies, because there is demonic principalities that will never like you. But here's the thing, those demonic principalities have to use people to get at you. But as you walk with God, guess what happens? Even the humans will have to say, devil, I'm not going to be mad at Joyce today. She ain't done nothing to me. Even enemies, even your ex going to have to say, you know what? She was a good woman. I can't say. Because once you walk with God, what happens is people begin to see you, and they begin to see you're a child of God. You choose peace. You walk with peace. You walk in love. And what happens over time, folk just have to honor and say, you know what? Them people, they ain't so bad after all. Right or wrong, call Jazz Long. I don't know if I really fool with her. But next time my child get in trouble, because sometimes you find out folk you don't like, you need. And some of y'all, you had enemies, but you don't have as many enemies as you used to have because they've watched your life. And here's the thing. When people see the anointing on your life, it becomes undeniable. And some folk wise up and say, I can't keep hating them because this is the Lord's doing. There's something about them. I won't say who, but there was this lady on TikTok talking about she met a president before they became a president. And she was a part of the catering team, and there was this particular event that this person who was campaigning for the presidency was at. And this person decided to go back and shake hands with all the caterers, all the servers, the chef on down. And the person was a part of the team working, one of the servers, said when this campaigner walked in the room, the whole energy of the room shifted. They said I'm not talking about their presidency because they weren't the president at the time. This person ended up winning the presidency. But they were not the president at the time. But it was just something about them. When they walked in the room, they brought this, and they said they had just the it factor. And they closed the TikTok by saying, does anybody ever been around somebody that just has it? And I'm here to let you know, when you carry the anointing, even people who don't plan on voting for you will say, it's something about them. I won't choose them for the next promotion, but I can't deny what's on them. I can't deny what they carry. I can't deny what they have. When the hand of God is on your life, everybody has to notice it. And some of your enemies who were stupid enough to be your enemies are going to tell the devil, I'm not hating them anymore, because there's something special about them. So just live in peace. All right, let's add this. Number four, as it relates to fear and worry. Look at John 14, 27 says what?
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.
Nor let it be fearful, because I have not just any peace, but the peace of God. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Or let me just go back to an Old Testament scripture that's not here. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This happens to be the day my father crossed over to glory, but I'm not really bothered because I have the peace of God. I have the peace that God has given me. And when you have the peace of God, what should break you down doesn't break you down. What should bow you over doesn't bow you over. You're like a palm tree. You bend, but you just don't break. Your roots are too deep. You're too strong to fall. Yes, there may be a recession. Yes, I may get laid off. Yes, so-and-so doesn't like me. Yes, they lied on me. But I have the peace of God. And when I walk with the peace of God, the birds chirp better. The crickets even sound good. It just, everything works out. The bologna tastes a little better. The toast tastes better. I'm walking in the peace of God. I'm driving in my car and all the red lights just happen to turn to green just when I need them to turn to green, because I'm in the peace of God. You just need every now and then to realize, stop stressing when you have the peace of the Lord. All right. Let me add it even further. Let's go read Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Don't cry about it. Talk to God about it. Read.
And the peace of God.
And the what?
Peace of God.
The peace of who?
God.
I'm not talking about Andre's peace. I'm not talking about Krista's peace. I'm talking about the peace of God that does what?
Which surpasses all understanding.
All comprehension. Read.
Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
I should have been crazy, but I had the peace of God. I should have lost my mind, but I had the peace of God. I should have flew off the handle, but I had the peace of God. I should have ended up in divorce court, but I had the peace of God. I should have been taken out, but I had the peace of God. So I'm receiving his peace. Number five, as it relates to wisdom and righteousness. Let's look at these. James 3, 16 through 18.
For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
If you're a child of God, you don't need to be one of those people that's full of drama. Drama for your mama, just always causing issues. Some church people, folk, can't stand to see them coming because they bring chaos with them. Where there is envy and confusion and strife, there's every evil work. Be peacemakers. Be somebody that brings peace into a situation. Go ahead, read.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable.
Peaceable.
Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Oh, all those things are so powerful. But I heard the word gentle in there, as well as peace, and both of those are fruits of the Spirit. Now, the old church that I grew up with, they were not the most gentle people. Boy, spit that gum out your mouth. Good night. I ain't even got into church yet. I'm on the parking lot and you fussing at me. Let me tell you, sometimes it's okay to say stuff in a gentle way. Everything is not, stop making mountains out of molehills. I mean, the girl has a skirt on and you barely see the bottom of a wrinkled kneecap. And all you all up in arms, they don't know how to dress in church no more. These folk is just fast. I mean, it really ain't that bad. You act like she got a bikini on in church. The skirt is just a little, but learn how to be just gentle. Stop making everything a big to-do over nothing. Learn how to be peaceful and gentle. And maybe you could just peacefully buy her another skirt. Instead of talking about her, maybe you could take her shopping. Instead of, see, what happens is some people, you spend some time with them, you realize that she wanted to come to church so bad. And she grew up in the old church and thought she couldn't wear pants. She got to wear a skirt. And that was the longest skirt she had. And she wore it just so she could be in the house of God. And some unpeaceful person started bothering her, not knowing she was coming, trying to give her all to God. Sometimes church folk need to shut up and let God do his work, because you don't always know the story behind the story. So no coming here smelling like weed, but you don't know 3 months ago they was hooked on heroin. And they've been praying to get off of that. And now weed is the only thing they got left that they still doing. And you fussing over stuff and don't realize that God is molding them into something new. Learn how to be peaceful and gentle. We are deliverance temple. So everybody that comes in here is not going to be delivered right away. Including the man holding the mic. So that means we got to be peaceful. But one thing about it, when we come together like a family and we start getting deliverance together, we get to celebrate each other's deliverance, because I know what you used to be, but I see what God is doing in your life. When I see you lift your hand, it makes me happy, because I know you used to bring that hand to put it in your arm to shoot up something that would take the pain away, but now praise takes the pain away. And so I'm excited about the family of God. And because I'm excited about the family of God, now here's the thing, I'm a shepherd. So as a shepherd, I try to be peaceful and gentle, because that's what shepherds do. But it don't make any sense for me to be peaceful and the sheep is mean. So if I'm going to be gentle, you be gentle. If I'm going to tell the kids, don't worry about your phone, don't you tell the kids to get off their phone. Let's be peaceful with everybody and gentle. It's not that you can't say stuff, but be gentle and peaceful. Now, the Lord will tell you when you got to raise your voice, when you don't. But here's the thing. Never forget, especially when you're dealing with grown folk, that you're dealing with grown folk. Talk to grown folk like they're grown folk. Don't talk to people like they're beneath you. Talk to them like they're grown people. In other words, speak to the God in them. All right, enough of that. Let's go to verse 18. This is the closing part of that.
And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Oh, actually, righteousness comes out of people who actually sow peace. So when you sow peace, it brings righteousness. All right, let's add this as it relates to prayer. Now, here's one thing I got to give a little time to. I'll give more time in Bible study. I'll give a quick piece of it here. Go, read that. Go ahead, put it up. Read it.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
All right, we've been told this, and I'll give more to it in Bible study, but we've been told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a song of ascents. And so in Bible study, I'll tell you what a song of ascents is in Psalms. But sometimes we have been tricked. That means that everything Israel is doing, we're supposed to go along with it carte blanche. Because the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let me just say it this way, and this will help you understand. So if someone was to say, pray for Andre's marriage, the first thing you're going to realize is it takes two to tango. That means it's Devin and it's Andre. So that means you're going to have to pray for Andre and you're going to have to pray for Devin. So if Andre's cutting up, you have to pray that Andre stop cutting up. If Devin cutting up, you have to pray that Devin stop cutting up. If we both cutting up, you have to pray that we both stop cutting up. So here's the thing. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, doesn't mean that we say yes to everything Israel is doing and say it's okay. Let me, I'll give more to it later. But let me say this, the Palestinians in Gaza, as well as the Israelites, both of them are wrong in many ways. So when I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I pray that evil leadership gets out of both of them. I don't automatically say Israel is right in everything they do, and I don't say the Palestinians are right in everything they do. I'm praying for peace on both sides. Let's flip it to the understanding of Russia and Ukraine. Here's the worst thing about war. There's a whole bunch of innocent people that don't care that suffer. There have been hospitals that have been bombed. Guess what? When you get sick and you end up at Ball Hospital, you're trying to get well. You don't think somebody's going to bomb the hospital. You don't have nothing to do with what Netanyahu is doing. You ain't got nothing to do with Putin and Zelensky, and you still end up in the middle of the fire. So when we pray for peace, we're praying for all the innocent people that suffer, because you got folk in power fighting over stuff that we really don't care about. The average man does not care. The average Muslim doesn't care about the Jews. They just want to be able to live peacefully. So when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying that that spirit of evil get out and everybody is taken care of. All right, let's go to a conclusion. And this is a real simple conclusion. Such a simple conclusion. Let's look at Psalms 34, 14.
Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it.
I'm sorry that I wasted all your time. I could have took y'all to this one verse. And this would have told you everything that I was trying to say. Turn away from evil. Do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. You do that, you're going to be the people of peace. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Amen. Thank you for those two claps. We're going to do this confession and then we're going right into our communion. Here's the confession. We'll just do it one time. So repeat after me. Father God, help us to be people of peace. May we love peace, seek peace, cultivate peace, live in peace, and bring peace everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, put your hands together. All right, let's move right into our communion. Give you time to open up your cup and wafer. We're just going to read right the scripture, and as you hear it in the scripture, you go ahead and partake. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. That might be hot because that juice tastes good today. Amen. We thank God. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for peace being in our lives. You are the Prince of Peace. And because of you, we walk in peace and we will be people of peace. We understand that we do not need to be oppressed and taken advantage of, but we also understand we should be light bearers, Christ followers, and we ought to be known as the children of God because we are peacemakers and we bring peace everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. If you need prayer, you can come for prayer. We love you.